people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. For another day of broadcast, it's
big party in Milwaukee this summer. You're invited.
Next summer.
Sorry, next summer. Big party.
Unless you know about a party this summer that I'm not aware of.
There probably won't be a party in Milwaukee.
It's called Summerfest.
Yes.
That's true.
Yep.
Every summer you get to have that. But this, the one a year from this summer, the Democratic National Convention. First time in a Midwestern city other than Chicago in over a century. So there you have it.
How about that? So that's, and it's, you know, our neighbor to the north.
Yeah.
We were just talking about
right over
this.
There.
We have covered a lot of these over the years, and it's better in a smaller city than a bigger city because it takes over the whole city, and you can actually go. They wall in areas, and there's restaurants and things you can do. They remember when it was at the United Center in whatever that was, 96. There was you had to go in. They cut off all of the West Loop essentially and West Side,
mm-hmm.
and then they had penned in corrals for protesters and for looky-loos and for press and stuff like that. And you have to walk in and walk out. And then by the time you got back downtown, you know, you couldn't go to any of the big restaurants because then the, you know, Clinton was closing them all down, you know, for the party, if you know what I mean. Getting into Gibson's, I'm going to tell you, was a very different situation. In that week in August in 1996.
They did put all those nice planters up and down Randolph Street, though.
Right.
Just for the convention.
Yep, they did that in Madison. Remember that we did the Madison Bridge?
Mm.
And they were going to walk. He was going to walk, like, from his downtown hotel. I think he might have been staying at the Hilton or something like that, because I think that's sort of the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to walk down Madison. And then he's like, you know, that's a little far. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what? Let's take a ride. And what was interesting about that is people might recall that it was like about an hour after he won the election and was sworn in again, the Monica Lewinsky thing hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there was there was a little bit. But during that election, it came out that one of his chief aides had a toe-sucking scandal.
Oh. Which aide? Do we know?
Yes. Oh, sure. It's the guy.
Yes. Oh, I remember that.
It is now the guy who's
Dick.
Become the arch. What? Watch your mouth. We're on television and radio.
That's his name.
Oh, yes. That's right. His name is Dick.
Dick Morris, right?
Yes. Dick Morris went on to become, after the toe sucking scandal, remember, he was a Clinton guy. And now he's like an arch conservative who writes these books about how awful the Democrats are.
Uh huh. He's been on our show before.
Because they fired him for toe sucking.
That's not allowed, apparently.
Yes. When you're paying for the toe. I think that was really the issue more than anything else. It was that the toe was purchased.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
If it had just been a mutually consensual sort of non-payment toe,
right.
Then it might have been
okay. Or his wife's toe might have even
been
a little bit better. Yeah. But a for hire toe with a,
hired toe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not good.
Not so good. Never understood that. I'll be honest with you.
You think it was too high of a price to pay?
No. I just never understood the toe sucking.
Fergie kind of get picked? Was it, remember Fergie? She was pictured on a beach with her new love after
yes.
she left the palace with a little toe sucking incident.
Yeah, right.
Well.
Exactly. She was on a veranda overlooking a beach or something, and they were like,
yeah,
they caught the guy was the photographer was on the, on the beach finding a guy that was literally sucking on Fergie's toe. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, so
apparently there's
happens.
A whole thing that goes on with that. It's like it lasts for hours. It's like it's a delicacy in some countries, apparently.
Oh.
I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm aware of it. I just don't, I don't know.
Gross.
It does seem gross. I don't really understand that.
I'm surprised that CLTV hasn't followed us into the...
Do they have the toe-sucking video?
Putting up pictures of the toe-sucking. I'm surprised that they don't have that. Maybe just a picture of Dick Morris.
We should try to challenge them over there at CLTV to see what storylines they won't follow.
Or just maybe an eggplant emoji or something. I don't know. Just put something up that, you know.
Do you think the person behind it is laughing at you or swearing at you?
Both. Both.
Just like usual.
Poor Fawn. She puts it.
She does an amazing job.
Amazing. She's the director producer of this operation for television, and it's just,
it's not easy.
It's the most thankless job in all show business. I can assure you of that. So anyway. Anyway, yeah. So I don't know. Somehow that. So back to Milwaukee.
We got
there by way of Milwaukee, because apparently in Milwaukee, there's a lot of toe sucking.
Yes. There's a Democratic convention, right. That may or may not involve people who like to toe suck. We don't know. I mean, you just don't know. But the issue there is...
Kids, don't try this at home. I just want to suggest that it may not be the most healthy practice. I don't know how hygienic it really is. You have to wash the toe very thoroughly before you begin to suck on it. I mean, there's a whole thing that goes on, I think.
Yeah.
A whole protocol to it.
So the concern is that they might not have enough hotels there, and they've got to kind of, you know.
Oh, they'll be fine. Oh, yeah. They've just redone. You know what? I know Kim's going to totally support me on this, because she's like, I don't know, somehow a Wisconsinite, and I don't know why that is.
By marriage. By marriage, exactly.
But Milwaukee is a great town. I hate to say it.
It really is. My brother-in-law lives there, and I have to tell you, every time we go up there, it's great.
It
and
is
there's
great.
Lots of stuff going on. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's right on the lake.
Tons of hotels.
Yeah.
You got the traditional, the Pfister, which is just fantastic. And then there's a lot of stuff going on. There's, you know, ringing hotels. Listen, when we get sent out to these to cover these things, they always put us in a hotel that is 50 miles away from the actual convention, and it's one of those, like, where it's a name of a chain by a bigger chain. It's like double wide bed by Marriott,
right?
To make you feel like you're getting it, like it's something great.
One of the members of our staff, in fact, walked into her hotel room and found another individual there who was not someone she knew at that particular hotel room.
Yeah, so see, things
just
can
happens.
Happen. Things can happen.
Things happen. Was already.
Yeah, so one must be very careful.
Yes.
All right, we're going to check in with Ben Bradley. We're going to find out what his thoughts are on the on Dick Morris's scandal from the mid-1990s. And then also, he's got an interesting story about Chicago that might be surprising.
Oh. Did we get any more?
He just sent it to me. I'm not sure he wants to. He said it's for Wednesday. I'm going to ask him to unveil it now. Just nod if you'll unveil it now. He will unveil it now. All right. He will unveil it now. Stay tuned. We'll find out about that. Could change the way you live in Chicago forever. Interesting.
That's a tease.
Yeah, for sure. No question about it. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the news?
More Boeing 737 MAX 8s are staying on the ground.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom, where he's going to hold forth at 4 o'clock tonight. 4 o'clock this afternoon. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is in the middle of the day now that we've changed clocks. They did say
clocks.
It does
feel like it.
Oh, wait, hold on 1 second here. You know what happened to Ben? Ben's looking at me like, why can't you hear me?
His mouth is moving.
I am moving. I am speaking.
Hello. Now we can hear you.
It's
there
like a whole new world out there after the time change,
I know.
Isn't it?
It's like spring, right?
Yeah,
it's
my kids got 12 minutes of sleep, but, you know, everyone else is happy because the sun's shining.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Kids
get up in darkness today?
it's funny. You don't think an hour will impact them, but it really does. It screws up their whole system, and they don't want to go to bed at night. They don't want to get up in the morning, and, you know, up is down, left is right.
But isn't that normal? Like every day? You're just blaming the time change.
Yes. The years are short, the days are long.
I know.
Don't you miss those days, Ro?
I know Ben's children, and I will say this.
Uh-huh.
Lovely, but there's one that's going to be trouble.
Yes, Molly and I have already identified him and taken out the appropriate insurance policy.
You know, we have all identified him.
Is he a little bit like Ben when you were little?
He's worse. I mean, he's got the mischievous sense of humor.
Yeah. He'll
he's
be very the, successful,
the
I
flirtation.
Think.
Flirtation.
Yeah.
He's got it all.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a very successful individual in life.
All
he's
that
gonna,
he's only seven.
He's going to cause headaches for people, but he is going to be, he's going to get his way. I can tell you.
Although,
tell you, right.
You know, we did the Lung Association stair climb. Great to see you out there, Ro.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I had that thing.
Yeah, every
weekend.
Year you seem
Steve
to have
Cochran
that thing.
Steve Cochran even showed up. I mean.
Did he do that? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Lourdes and I were at the stair climb, and my oldest son, Cullen, was out there with us, and I had to have a couple of stitches on my leg on Friday, so I couldn't do it. Lourdes is like, no problem. She just takes Colin, you know, and they go all the way up there, and Lourdes comes down and is like, you know what? He's so much more pleasant than you. That worked out so well.
That's such a low bar. All right, can we talk about this story that could change the way that we live in Chicago?
Boy, you should be a tease writer.
Seriously. I need to do, what does he have?
Yeah,
what story
I'm like, that's
is this?
Not the story I wrote, but
right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And by the way, thanks for blowing it 3 days early. So help me God, if talking about this on the radio, if this story ends up between now and Wednesday night at 9, like
at
Chuck
another
Gowdy
TV station?
Does it, or like Telemundo or Univision, I'm coming after you, Rokan. Mm-hmm.
That's a great television trick, by the way.
Yep.
Spike a story.
Third Airport in Chicago, been talked about for decades.
Yep.
Haven't heard much about it lately. Governor Rauner put the brakes on any plans. Governor Pritzker has been a little more noncommittal about it. But we got to thinking, I wonder how much money the state has spent over the years buying up land, and have they continued to do it, even though Rauner was against it? The answer is yes. Over the last 20 years, the state has bought up. It's actually Moni. Started. Everyone
it's the Piatone Moni
because that was
yeah.
the highway exit.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating what's happened down there over 20 years as a result of the state buying up land and then not doing anything with it.
So it's Moni money.
Show me the Moni.
Right. If we're spending too much Moni on Moni.
You know, I should have written that into the script. I'm so happy we talked about it.
Yeah. I was giving that to Channel 2.
Yeah. But it's, you know, this is big stuff. And the state has spent nearly $100 million of your dollars on this project over the last 20 years. They've bought up thousands of acres of land. And people felt incredible pressure to sell the state to the state. You know, these were family-owned farms, in some cases, that had been in families for generations. The state, IDOT's, you know, sending out letters that said, hey, you know, sell us the land or we will take it, essentially, and give you whatever we think is fair. A lot of people did that. And now the state is a huge landowner down there in southeast Will County. And IDOT isn't even sure that they're going to do anything with the land.
So it's still vacant. It's not producing any sort of income for the state or
so
anything.
So what
like that.
Has happened is some of the land has been leased back to farmers.
Oh.
So some of the land has continued to be farmed. But the, you know, we spoke with property owners down there who one guy, his entire barn had fallen down. I mean, this thing, it looked like a tornado had hit. So this is an old, big, beautiful red barn that had collapsed. And we said, well, why haven't you done anything with it? He said, We're in limbo down here, and we have for years. Why would I put any money into my property when the state could just come in and take it away? Or perhaps, let's say the new administration decides, hey, we need the money. Let's try to unload all this property. What do you think that's going to do to property values
right.
in that
right.
part of Will County?
It is a big problem.
Yeah, so we're going to get into Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
I don't. The airlines didn't want another airport. We just expanded O'Hare. It's
right.
unlikely that we would get one.
And even the cheerleaders third airport admit it's never going to be a passenger airport.
Here's what I like. I got an idea.
What's the idea?
I'd like to. You know what? This would guarantee I'd vote for Trump in 2020.
Oh.
Ready?
This is a big idea.
Build an Air Force base down there.
Okay.
Let the federal government buy the land from the state of Illinois, pay the state of Illinois, build an Air Force base.
Are we in
Jobs
need of an Air Force
sure, why
base?
Not?
To
Who
secure?
Doesn't need one?
We got
okay.
another,
you can
yeah,
always
one.
Use an Air Force base.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I guess the Defense Department's getting a bunch more money under this proposed budget.
Yeah,
that's true.
What's wrong
mm-hmm.
with that?
Yeah.
Maybe, or mm-hmm. a defense research facility
yeah.
where they could hold the aliens?
Well, actually, ooh. Speaking of walls, there is a giant one the state has built, this big fence around what looks like two garages.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got security cameras.
What's
and
in
it's
there?
This electric This was the South Suburban Airport Project office.
Oh, nobody wanted to get in and find out about that.
Yeah, well, you'll see
just
what
to find out that nothing was going on
we
there.
We tried to get in that, there.
It's
yeah.
where Jesse Jackson Jr.'s fur coats were being held.
So my opening line of the piece is, and this is kind of the sad state of affairs in Illinois, is this project has been talked about for so long. The congressman who was its biggest proponent has been to Washington, been to prison, and is now back home again. That's how long we've been talking about this project.
Something.
That is true. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
yep.
it.
Good to be with you guys.
Now you're the finest, Ben. I hope your story doesn't get stolen by Channel 2.
If
hey,
it
Rob
does,
Johnson!
I will break both your legs.
Rob Johnson! Goodbye.
Give him a call.
All right. We've got the news with Kim Gordon coming your way, too.
Kelly, does he think Democrats hate Jewish people, as he said on the South?
I think that they've had a lot of opportunities over the last few weeks to condemn some abhorrent comments. I'm trying to answer. If you'd stop talking, I'll finish my statement.
Yeah, sure.
The president has had and laid out clearly his position on this matter. Democrats have had a number of opportunities to condemn specific comments and have refused to do that. That's a question, frankly, I think you should ask Democrats what their position is, since they're unwilling to call this what it is and call it out by name and take actual action against members who have done things like this, like the Republicans have done when they had the same opportunity.
Except for one thing.
What's that?
There's Sarah Sanders right there. In a rare appearance at the first time in 42 days or something like that, A.B. Stoddard, I think is the case, that she went to the podium. But except that would be true, except the White House refused to comment on Steve King after the the Iowa congressman who was like, why do people want to say white supremacists is the wrong thing? they chose not to comment on that, even after the Republicans censured him. Right? I mean, it's a crazy thing. It's just crazy things happening here. AB, why are things crazy?
It's like we're in some exponential formula where they have to keep getting more crazy at some rate that we don't understand. But I do remember that the president told us when the Steve King stuff broke and his party in the House, you know, came down on him so hard. They were like ready to be done with Steve King. And he said, I'm not really following it.
I don't know. What's going on?
The guy who watches like 8 hours of TV a day, but I'm not following it.
Yeah.
That's strange.
I think, you know what's really interesting, though? The Republican campaign people, you know, the people who are getting ready for the 2020 campaign, both in the House, the Senate, and then, of course, also for the White House, they see a huge opening here. They think that, as a matter of fact, I have a buddy who's a Chicago police officer, often will say to me, what? You know, you gotta think like a Chicago cop to think, you know, that's really, it's a very, very streamlined logic that goes on there with, They see just the facts in front of them. They know that, and it's, you got to make fast decisions in this town. And this guy, who's you know, sort of a, he's like a lot of Chicagoans. They're not really Republicans or Democrats because those labels mean nothing here. There's the powerful and the people out of power. That's how we look at it here. And he was like, "What's with the Democrats? They're going to kill everybody here. There's no way they're going to win in 2020 now." And you know, I think there is a possibility that he's right. I think that between Ilhan Omar and AOC, whose name's still being withheld, OAC. AOC.
I'm sorry. AOC. Now we're both messed up. You're right.
AOC. Name being withheld, pending the anchor's ability to say it. There is there's a big opportunity here for the left to, you know, kind of find itself in a circular firing squad, an argument about things that aren't really relevant to most Americans.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very concerned about the fact that, and I know we talked about this before, about the Omar situation, because this is her second infraction, not her first. But they're not having a debate over the policies of Bibi Netanyahu, and they're not talking about, you know, us reassessing the situation that the Palestinians are in the West Bank or anything. She uses anti-Semitic tropes, and this is going to happen again. So Pelosi did the best she could under the heat from all quarters and did her kitchen sink resolution, which was laughed at by Trump and a bunch of Republicans who voted against it, including Liz Cheney, who wanted to go on the Sunday talk shows and talk about it. It's not going to go away because something's going to happen again. And then what ism resolution do they put on the floor then? And that is a real problem going forward. And then if you look at, you know, today, Nancy Pelosi had to say, I'm really opposed to impeachment. It's too divisive. It would have to be so overwhelming, which I think she's very smart to do. I mean, that's a sign of someone who believes that her party has one choice, which is to win the White House next year and not go into a complete permanent state of irrelevance.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if they lose to Trump next year, they might as well pack it in and go home. So they have two choices. They can blow this thing up, or they can, you know, come to their senses. And it's really going to be a very rough fight. I was very heartened to see how popular Mayor Pete Buttigieg was at the town halls and that CNN did last night. Huge reaction to how sane he is, how detailed his answers are, how he doesn't dodge, he doesn't filibuster, he doesn't use platitudes. He really has not only an depth of experience, but of knowledge and specifics for his plans. And so, I just think that both parties should be nominating people who have plans beyond the border wall and, the fear that MS-13 is coming with some fentanyl to my house. So I just don't know, if the party wants to do this, the Democratic Party, they can do it. But it's not where the American people are. I think Elizabeth Warren, she has this bold idea about breaking up the big five mm-hmm. tech companies, and I totally understand. It's a bipartisan issue. There's not a lot of consumer outrage, people who understand, the power of monopolistic forces in the market and understand antitrust are concerned about it, and again, in both parties. But I think she's like trying to juice, the left, the energy on the left of the party in the primary electorate, which, I don't think it's what everyday people are really concerned about. So I think she's just doing it because she's trying to come up with something that will differentiate herself in this huge primary. And if they do that in positive ways, great. But if they do it in negative ways, and it's happening in Congress and the people in the campaign don't push back against what's happening in the Congress, they're going to find themselves having wasted a year and being way too far isolated from, the main concerns of the American people.
I know Anna wants to ask a question, but before she does, I just want to say that Pete Buttigieg is a very, he's an interesting guy. He's a smart guy. I do not, under any circumstances, think that Democrats can win with him against Donald Trump. He's a small town mayor. He's a guy that is, he's good and articulate about his positions, but people are going to go, who is he?
Fine. That's fine. But what I'm looking for is answers and not just someone running on their outrage and their Instagram game. So I'm really concerned that the Democratic Party is going the kind of way of Trump, which is, sort of smash mouth politics to get attention, use right. celebrity and outrage. And I just feel like here's this guy who came in, like I said, who has experience, real experience and military experience, and he sounded really sane. And I think that there really needs the people who are upset with Donald Trump who might have voted for him and don't want to again are looking for that. The Democrats who didn't vote for Hillary and don't want Trump to be elected again are looking for that. There are a large number of people in the middle who are looking for some kind of conversation about their problems and not how bad Trump is or, mm-hmm. How bad AIPAC is or whatever the hell is going on, And that's why I think that there was such a good response to him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You're talking about someone mainstream who has experience in that kind of thing. You saw that Joe Biden is as close as he's ever been to announcing he's running. It sounds a lot like he's running. He's leading in the polls despite not officially announcing. Is he the kind of answer? And then I guess I also wonder, with so many candidates, has it become a little bit like a beat up on each other kind of fest that we saw with the Republicans in 2016? How do the Democrats navigate these waters of trying to find some sort of definition to each of these candidates without really beating themselves up in the primary?
Yeah, I've asked that from the start. I think it is going to be very similar to the 2016 situation for Republicans, where you don't want to choose a juggernaut, rally to a juggernaut like Hillary Clinton and then be left with the bad option. But at the same time, if you let 1,000 flowers bloom, someone runs away with a plurality and gets ahead. And there were obviously other, aspects to that race that won't be dissimilar in the Democratic race, but just the sheer numbers, does create these problems. And one of them is that, they're going to be, like you said, scrambling to find ways to make contrasts with each other. And I think that, right now, that's tricky. I'm worried about, I'm fascinated by the fact that Sanders pulls so close, both in the Iowa polling, which is just about Iowa, and the Monmouth polling that came out today, which is national, where the numbers for Biden and Sanders are, I think, exactly the same. 27 for Biden, 25 for Sanders. Really interesting that Sanders has that much support in the party and is a second choice of voters for Biden. I there's nowhere to go when you're at the top but down. Mm-hmm. I do think that Biden is going to go through a very rough dressing down with a lot of voters about the way he treated Anita Hill, all these things in his past. You know, there's too many photos and videos of him lurking over women's, you know, hair on the back of their neck at ceremonies. I don't know what they're going to do to him, but I would make the argument that that he's going to face, you know, this sort of generational pushback about, you know, him coming up and evolving through many, many decades of public service from something they thought, you know, was out of step and unacceptable to, you know, something that's fine now, but, you know, past its due date. So I think he's definitely going to face that no matter what.
I do like the whole war on wisdom. It was happening at South by Southwest over the weekend, where Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez was taking on the notion of all these old people, and they all want to tell us what to do. And, you know, you don't really need to have wisdom. You just have to have a good perspective. And these people who are in the middle, these people, they're like, meh, what is that about? People who, you know, are like moderates. You know, if you're a moderate, you don't have a point of view. And I'm like, who is this woman? It's like, all of a sudden, and I know, I mean, we got millennials here.
We do.
I understand the millennials, you know, a little bit, but at some point you do have to stop and go, well, maybe someone who has seen something once, twice, or three times before might understand the pattern of what's happening in front of them. And that's, and with Biden, he's seen it 60 times before. So that's all really, you know, well and good. I mean, he went from the Mad Men era to the, where Barack Obama had to call him into the Oval Office and tell him to shut the F up.
Exactly.
Otherwise, he was going to ruin everything. But, you know, and maybe Biden isn't the perfect guy for the Democrats, but he's the perfect guy to run against Donald Trump. Because, I mean, you got, it's a Saint portfolio, except a guy that's got, you know, he may win some moderates back over, and that would be the difference, because this is a very slight differential if it stacks up like it did in 2016. All right.
I feel about Biden. I think he's the best position to beat Trump. If the Democratic primary electorate wants to squander that opportunity, that's fine. I think if Biden's left for the first and only 4 years of a presidency and it had only his staff run the place, I think on many days I'd feel more stable about this country and how it's being operated than the way it is right now. It's really entirely up to the Democratic primary electorate, and that's the way they're responding to this kind of stuff, all these debates. We just don't know, you know, if they're going to see the wisdom of the experienced guy.
One other little piece in that poll that's important that came out this weekend is that 40% of Republicans say they wouldn't mind seeing a contender against Donald Trump in a primary. So that's an interesting moment. I know the guy that Republicans should use, but he's a first term congressman. So I don't know if that's going to be the way to go.
Who they should choose?
Yeah. Who should they choose?
The guy with the eye patch.
Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, look, it's very interesting because the you see that in the polling, and then you see, I think it's like split in Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Like half, the numbers are the same who don't want anyone to challenge Trump to the numbers who want someone to challenge Trump. I mean, among the donors, they're very concerned that if you combine stuck on the border wall, no aspirational message to the working class beyond we cut your taxes and we hope that you weren't one of the people who didn't like the tax bill and you got your judges and the wall. And you combine that with any kind of, you know, legal exposure as a result of the investigations. They're very nervous that he might not be worth sticking with.
Yeah.
But no one can make a move right now.
Right. They don't know what's coming out. I mean, that's the issue. Right. They don't know what's coming out. And there's still a lot of people, even though it seems quiet right now, there's a lot of people who were either questioned by Mueller or know about, you know, lawyers who are around this whole process who are like, you know, everybody keep your powder dry here because there may be different things than you think are going to come out. So let's just see what happens. All right. A.B. Stoddard, you know her, you love her. I think from this program, more than anything else.
Sure.
But you can also see her on the cable news. And, of course, you can read her in RealClearPolitics.com, where she is the editor. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, A.B.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right, let us now check in with Kim. What's happening at the top of the hour in the news?
Roe Empire actor Jesse Smollett returns to a Chicago courtroom this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a Roe Con show. And then in the blood, this yes. right here, 720 WGN.
No big deal.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
I know. Oh, it hurts.
Oh, there's that voice again.
It's going to be back. It's going to be back for the season. We got a lot. Kevin and I do a lot of important things during
you do?
The day. Tom is not aware of all the important things that Kevin and I do.
Neither am I. But
during the day.
Mind running them down for us?
Just give us a little brief list of the important things you do.
Just the short version.
Right.
A couple things,
just, you know, right off the top of your head.
Sure.
The important stuff
sure.
you do.
Yeah, we got to do a 4-hour radio show this afternoon. No big deal.
It's tough work, guys. Radio's tough work. You got to push buttons, move a microphone around.
Talk into the microphone.
Talk into it.
Open those doors over there.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not so easy.
That's not so easy. Kevin and I go to the Hawks game tonight. Just walk around the concourse.
Boy, that's taking one for the team. Wow.
We'll get our steps in walking around the United Center.
Yeah.
It'll be tough.
It's funny. When Kevin and I go to the hockey game, we don't actually ever see the game.
I've heard.
That's because Ro knows half the building. Uh-huh. Like, he's like, oh, it's Frankie. That's Jimmy. We're going to go down this secret hallway here, knock on this door three times, and we'll get let into this secret room. He's got to see everybody.
Right, and he goes from, like, drink spot to drink spot.
That's true.
Places you don't even know exist in the United Center.
I know.
I'm like, well, this is here? I've walked past this 100 times.
There's, like, a door, and there's a nondescript door, and there's a guy in front of it, and you give him a secret handshake.
He's always got a list. They're like, how is Ro on this list? He's on every list there. It's like,
wait a minute, where are we?
It's a good time.
And suddenly you're in there, and there are, all these celebrities in there.
You know, the folks to get to know over there are the ones who prepare the food because...
We got that covered.
I'll tell you, the buffet over there, the food over there is fantastic.
Amazing.
I know. It really is.
Yeah, we got the United Center basically locked down. I now have been in every corner of that building.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it is fascinating. I always wanted to do like one of these TV shows when I was working in TV years ago. I thought, what would a great like a behind the scenes show. Now everything is a behind the scenes show.
It's true.
Like I invented the concept in my head and I never executed it.
Uh-huh.
And then now everybody does it. There are entire channels dedicated to just behind the scenes kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's even fascinating to see how the news gets made, not just what the news is. And maybe in the weather department, I think it'd be fascinating to watch you guys, you know, what you do to prepare.
A lot of it's pretty quiet work, so
it's not good TV.
Be like watching cement dry, you know.
Well, but talk us through it, Tom, and we want to hear you explain it. I think fascinating part.
It really is amazing the tools we have to work with these days. But you know something? I just think, Ro, you're talking about the United Center, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, we've cried at a Barbra Streisand concert over there,
mm-hmm.
and it's just you know what's amazing though is that the way they convert that. From a venue for a concert to a sports venue,
right.
Be it for the Bulls or for the Blackhawks.
There's a great video. It's on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube where they do the. You can see it go both ways.
Yeah.
You can see them actually lay down the court for the Bulls or do a load in for a concert. What is amazing is when the big acts come in, they have to take the locker rooms that are the Bulls locker room and the Hawks locker room, and then the visiting basketball and visiting hockey are all different. You know, there's four major locker rooms
down
there.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And what they do is they, for the big acts, and especially like a band like The Who or some, you know, where there's four guys and nobody likes each other anymore. So they all have to be in their own corner.
So what they do is they
actually curtain off. They take the locker rooms and they curtain them off and they cover the flooring with another cover of some sort so that when the artist comes in, and often the artist will have, like big artists will bring their own furniture in.
Really?
Yeah. Because
now,
they
what would that consist
why
of?
Why would they need their own furniture?
Because they want the consistency of having the same thing every night. when they're on
like
the road.
Like their lazy boy chair kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, they bring in their couches and lazy boys and all the rest of the stuff so they feel comfortable at home. Lamps that they want. They travel with their pets often. So, the pets running around. Barbara Streisand backstage had I saw her dog literally go on the floor backstage in the Hawks locker room.
They should have provided one of those little indoor pee pads kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And she's down there literally like blotting it up with a napkin.
Good for her.
And I'm like,
I wouldn't expect that.
I've been standing there and I'm watching her do this, and I'm like, that's Barbara Streisand
cleaning up after her dog,
blotting her dog's pee off of the Blackhawk's head.
She had people for that.
Yeah, no, she did. She was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She apologized for her dog peeing in front of everybody. But they have this whole thing, and then they got their own food and all of that. So they have to change that stuff as well. It's not just the floor on the outside. They have like a whole other thing that goes on underneath that is really pretty cool to watch.
It
what a transformation!
Yeah,
it's a really it is to me. There is such an amazing symphony of things. You think about the building and think, well, what goes on in there when there's not a game?
Mm-hmm.
It's everything is going on in there, and there's something almost every night in there.
Wow!
So it's like in and of itself is a totally great story.
Totally. Well, hats off to the team that's behind all of that, because it just seems effortless when you show up for a game or a concert or whatever it is. It's all in place.
Jim Kohler is the guy that runs that down there. He is the most amazing. He's been with the Chicago Stadium and the United Center for longer than he probably ever wants to admit.
Huh.
But he is, and he's in charge of the whole thing. And that's a guy that every time I see him, he's walking around, he's trying to act calm. But you can see inside, there is this boiling thing going on where his mind's working like, oh my God, what just happened?
All the details he must have to keep track of.
It must
unbelievable.
Be quite a job and quite a responsibility. Well, something. It's an amazing place. It really is.
Yeah.
And, I used to think that these groups that you hear came in with food demands and things like that were kind of, it was vain. The more I go on and the older I get, I can kind of understand when you're on the road, that's stressful enough before an audience of tens of thousands of people on top of it. And, you've got to have something to kind of quiet down, a chair to sink into that you're familiar with, and food that isn't going to upset your stomach and all the rest. So,
that's what they do, and they will often send to the big stadiums like the United Center. Chef Mike tells us about this. They'll get the recipes that these guys want. It's part of their tour management system and what they eat. And a lot like the older guys all eat real healthy, because that's how they're old and rock star.
Right, how they survive.
Right, they're limited on the alcohol. They're heavy on the green drink and the skinless chicken breast, for dinner or a piece of fish or whatever it is.
Yep.
And they're very high in the Lipitor. That's what they're high on now. They used to shoot heroin. Now they're like,
Lipitor.
Did I take my Lipitor? it's like, but that's how they became Jurassic rock stars, right? Because they were able to do that.
They had to take care of themselves.
Right, the rest of them are dead. So this is how it goes. And they're in a they're in a rarefied air, and they can afford it, right? I mean, these tours make a lot of money, so they're able to do that. But it is interesting when you talk to them that they are so, that it is, it's like, I got, imagine this. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're 75 years old. Which a lot of these guys aren't.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
70, 75, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. Like, what is Elton John? Just turned 70, I think, right?
Mick Jagger, isn't he like
75.
70?
Yeah. 75. So Mick Jagger, who's going to be on tour this summer, 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine grandpa right now. Imagine any 75-year-old that is going to travel to 40 cities this summer.
It wears me out just thinking about it.
Totally.
And he's going to do a 2.5-hour cardio workout every night. He's doing one in the morning and then one at night.
Wow.
Doing a real one in the morning and then whatever he does at night. I mean, just imagine the stress on these guys when they're doing it. And they're incredible entertainers. People go, they're just rich performers. All right, then don't go to the concert. That's the way I look at it. I mean, I'm sick and tired of trolls telling me how everybody else that they're jealous of is bad. The fact of the matter is these people are amazing at what they do.
They are.
And if this is what they, this is how they live and they're able to show up the way they do, then have them show up. What's the last thing you did, pal?
Well, you know, Ro, it's interesting. I, as I sit here in the office, we play some music. I have an iPod, but I've gone onto this YouTube Music where you can see a lot of the live performances. I've seen more concerts as I'm working here, or listen to them anyway, and I'm always amazed. You think, you know, a lot of these things have to be mixed in a studio. They're such complex pieces of music and all, and you wonder how they're going to do it in a live venue, and yet you go, you listen to it. And I'm thinking of Phil Collins.
Yeah.
I even saw a music video of Ace. Remember How Long? Is I think a one hit wonder, right?
Yeah, that was
how long before they cut another song?
Yeah, you know, how long? Just, right. I think they were. But they still tour because, and you can see them at the Ramada Inn Lounge anytime you want. You know, if you want to see something that's just an absolutely amazing stage presentation, by far the greatest thing I've ever seen is The Wall, the Roger Waters. It's just that's.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And the sound is just incredible. I saw Simply Red. I mean, these guys come with whole orchestras and all, string sections and everything else. And it, you think the work that has to be done to coordinate all this stuff.
You know, often, there's a little trick that they do with that. Those are often, I mean, we saw that with Barbra Streisand. Those are people, those are rentals. Those are guys that they're coming in for the day.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
How often do they rehearse for a program like
they send
hers?
Them the music, and then they go in and do a sound check with her, and that's it.
It's stunning. Yeah. I mean, it just it works like clockwork, and it's beautifully done. It's just flawlessly performed. At least my ear doesn't pick up any problems with it. Wonder how they do that.
Hey, Tom, what point did you cry during the Barbra Streisand concert?
Oh, about 5 minutes into it.
Yeah,
was there a special point, Ro?
I held out for 10. I was when she did the Marvin Hamlish tribute. Where I went.
Oh. Yeah. See, one of my neighbors was Marvin Hamlish's cousin.
See, there you go.
Yeah. And I had heard about that. In fact, I was over there the night that they had talked to Marvin Hamlish's wife, and she had said, you know, he's not in good shape. He had just had an operation, and something went wrong, and he's too young to pass away. You know, it's just, it's amazing. But... Yes. He must have been a nice individual, too, because...
Yes, because people in show business are known for that. The truth is that he... and people, like, all the kids right now are going, who the hell is Marvin Hamlish?
I know.
I think Marvin Hamlish was my dad's accountant.
Memories.
Yes, he's the great writer and composer and producer of music that, you know, made sort of the 19... Everything from about 1965 to about 1980. I mean, he had his fingers in everything.
It's incredible.
So,
yeah.
Incredible. All right. I want to thank you.
Well, thank you,
for
Ro.
What you've done here.
Yeah.
Tom, this is
very great. We're going to have the warmest temperature since Halloween this week. We're going to go up to 60 on Wednesday and 68 on Thursday.
Oh!
Now, the trade-off is there's a big storm involved, but this thing will bring rain showers. And it looks like another one of these high wind situations Thursday. And it'll be windy on Wednesday, too.
This wind thing is pretty crazy.
It is.
It was nuts over the weekend.
It really is. Yeah, we had gusts locally at 60, 62 miles per hour. And it's another one of these situations Thursday where we could find some gusts topping 60 at times.
I think we're going to have the wackiest summer of all times heading our way.
Well, you know what's going to happen. This is going to pump warm air up over the snowpack in Wisconsin and parts of Minnesota while it lays down a blizzard out in Nebraska and the western Dakotas. And you can imagine the flood issues that are going to come up when you rain on top of this melting snow up there. Even in our area, we have some melting snow that could impact
like
our
north
rivers.
Of us, right? So if the rivers are heading south.
Yeah.
Like the Des Plaines, it has one job. It has no navigable real qualities. It is just designed to flood and ruin people's basements.
Yeah, I know. It's
and not even look pretty while it's doing it. You go to the Des Plaines River and you look down and it's like tree branches and every once in a while a body floats by.
Oh, gee, that doesn't happen. That's the Chicago River. That's not the Des Plaines.
The Chicago River is prettier. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, no, I know. And well, our rivers have really come a long way in the last couple of decades.
And one guy in a canoe. There's always one guy in a canoe in the Des Plaines River that's just going up and down. And he's like, you know, wave. And all he's doing is going under expressways and streets and. Yeah. I never understand what he's
remember,
doing.
Remember, you used to put your canoe in there and it started dissolving. You know, it was something, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
Right.
Remember when the senior daily would talk about, I envision families bringing their lunches and dinners down and sitting on the banks.
And you used to laugh, right?
Oh, Len O'Connor thought that was a riot. He thought that was just the funniest thing. But
you couldn't envision it.
No,
but it's
and you
there.
Can today.
You can. You go down to the river, walk now,
it's
and
true.
It's just all the time. It's just, they've done a lot of hard work down there, and they've
That's
developed
true, yeah.
it, and it's just a beautiful place to visit in
wouldn't
the summer.
Wouldn't it be nice to go down to the river?
Yeah.
Have a nice bottle of beer? That's what he said at lunchtime. He was encouraging people to drink at lunch because it was the Mad Men era. Well, that's what people did.
You did that.
Go down at lunch, and all the city workers, for sure, they'd toddle out of City Hall because there was no air conditioning.
Yeah.
They'd go down to the river, they'd drink. The idea was to go to the river, except the river was actually green and foaming at that point. So then they would go back, then, you know, they'd walk into the Daily Plaza or just, you know, go to a bar around the corner, drink themselves silly, and then go sleep it off at their desks.
I'll tell you one thing, though. You can't take it away from our city workers. There's a lot of infrastructure to keep going in this town. I mean, you know.
Oh, no, there's some very hardworking people.
Yeah.
And they hate the people who are working with them who are not hardworking.
Yeah. Because there are a few of those, too.
Yes, there's, that's been known to happen.
I marvel at the job that's done on these roads when the snow starts to fly by the streets of sand people.
Forget about it. Streets and sand, those guys were out there.
Yes.
That is crazy stuff.
And the garbage pickup, too.
Yeah.
Those guys, amazing.
And we're so spoiled these days, we expect never to slip or slide, you know, no matter what the weather's doing. It just doesn't work that way.
You know, talk of streets and sand for a second about the garbage pickup,
mm-hmm.
to Anna's point.
Yeah.
Go to other cities.
Yeah.
Go to other cities and see what goes on.
Oh, it's true.
Totally.
It's unbelievable how good they are at what they do.
Ro, you know what? I go to Anchorage, Alaska, and our guys could teach them something about plowing snow up there, and cleaning the roads. It's really quite amazing.
It's really something. Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Appreciate Ro, it. See you later. Talk to you later, Anna.
Bye, right. Tom.
Kevin, see ya.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, guys.
Kevin's like, who the hell is Marvin Hamlish?
He's still looking on Wikipedia right now.
Kim. Yeah. Kim knows who Marvin Hamlish is.
I love Marvin Hamlish.
Of course you do. See, it's like a generational
thing.
Thank you, Kim. Totally. Absolutely, Tom. We have good music taste.
You bet.
They aren't striking up the band. Instead, CSO musicians are on strike. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, that is, weeknights on WGN-TV.
He just said it's going to be 68 on Thursday. That's what he just said.
How about that?
Maybe rainy and 70-mile-an-hour winds, but it's still going to be 68.
I'm going golfing.
In the rain and the 60-mile-an-hour winds?
God would not!
How does the 60-mile-an-hour wind affect
the that's
golf
when you
swing?
Aim four fairways to the right and hope it ends up on the one in front of you.
Yep. I sort of enjoy that.
Oh, it's fun because it's like you feel like you're a pro, like you're shaping shots, but it's actually just the wind taking your ball. Check this one out, boys.
All right. Let's check in with Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, and then we're going to talk about the 737 MAX.
Oh, yeah.
The plane that now has crashed twice in 5 months, brand new aircraft from Boeing. What's going on there? We're going to get some answers for you, but first, this. Rocon Show with Anna DeBlante.
Yes, it is.
Don't forget to get decked out this summer. You want a full outdoor makeover of your home? You can win a 12-by-16-foot rectangular deck built by Architect of Chicagoland, made from TimberTech. No deck is complete without a place to sit. And the price package includes a 3-piece cushion sectional, fire pit table from American Sale, their Bella collection, and from our friends at Weber, a Weber Spirit 2 Series gas grill.
Nice.
That's like, the whole thing is like, I think close to $19,000.
Oh, man. Wow. And life-changing, by the way.
And life-changing. So go to, how do you win is what the question.
That's a great question.
Go to WGNradio.com/contests, and then you'll get to see the thing. You upload a picture of your outdoor space now. And
it could be a space that you want to improve. It could be a space that you can't stand right now. It could be
send a picture of your cat. I don't care what you're saying. Just get it. Just get registered.
Space.
You do have to have an outdoor space because it would be really stupid to try to put that in an apartment. All right. Let's check in now. Stone Pony is standing by. Alex Stone from ABC News, and we want to talk about the 737 MAX. And I, you know, there's a lot of people, as an aviation geek, you know this, I know this as well, similarly afflicted, that there are a lot of people in the aviation industry right now who are either quietly or now starting to be verbally concerned about this because you just don't have a brand new aircraft like the 737 MAX, even though it's built on a 60-year-old airframe, theoretically, the same kind of model of a plane.
But it really is a whole new aircraft.
Totally, right.
Everything up in the cockpit, it's a new aircraft on the old frame, yeah.
And the what looks like the old frame, but the composites are different and everything. So
right.
The question is, you don't, if you have something like a brand new airplane that has two falling out of the sky crashes, And that's exactly what these are. It isn't like there's some problem on the ground or some problem. This is a falling out of the sky at takeoff. Similar profiles to the crashes, although they maybe it could be just coincidence, could be totally different. We won't know until we get all the data back. But this is within 5 months on a plane that's only been in service for 22 months. That's crazy.
Yeah, and the debate right now is really worldwide, should the MAX 8 and MAX 9 still be flying? And in the U.S., at least those at the airlines and those at the FAA are saying, sure, go ahead and fly it, but they have not found any single thing that is of concern, anything that can be fixed, and the U.S. carriers are doing exactly that. Southwest has 34 of these MAX 8s. They're going to keep flying them. American has 24. And United has 14 of the MAX 9s, which is essentially the same plane, same technology, just slightly longer. So the airlines are saying they have confidence in them. The FAA, about 2 minutes ago, put out an official continued airworthiness notification to the international community, and pretty much it alerts the industry that the FAA is not going to take any action because they don't believe there's any action to take. That they're saying that they're going to continue to look at this, that not enough is known from the Ethiopian crash, and that once they know something, if there's action to take, that then they will alert. But China, Indonesia, Ethiopia, they say they're not taking any chances. They're grounding the MAX fleets. That's about 100 jets in China, and then a few here and there in the other countries. And then a number of airlines have said the same thing, the latest today being Calm Air in South Africa, saying that they're grounding their MAX fleet. There are critics. We just saw one group that came out a few minutes ago. They just put out a press release, flyersrights.org, which is a advocacy group for flyers, that they're calling on the FAA to ground the plane. But pilots will tell you, airline groups will tell you, that they feel it is a perfectly safe aircraft, that there is nothing indicating a problem that they can't recover from. The Lion Air crash back in October, the belief is that was a sensor that made the plane believe that it was stalling, and the MAX aircraft, something the earlier 737s don't have, it then puts the plane into a nosedive, a nose-down angle of attack to try to pick up airspeed, but if you're just taking off, that's a problem, and if the pilots don't know how to react, that's a problem. United, American, Southwest, they say they have done extensive training with their pilots on these aircraft to disengage the autopilot, hand-fly that plane, and to get it out of the nose-down direction and to save the plane. They say they know how to get out of this, at least what happened in Indonesia. We don't know what happened yet in Ethiopia.
So this is an issue, though. The training. This is where the real problem is going to be here, is that Boeing is making the argument that this plane, the 737 MAX 8 and MAX 9, are very similar aircraft to the 737-700 and 800, which preceded it. And that the cross-training to qualify pilots to fly this plane takes not as much time as it would be if they were changing completely over to an Airbus or some other kind of an aircraft. So the argument is the argument that you're hearing in the aviation community right now is that maybe these foreign airlines, Lion Air and Ethiopian, didn't properly train these guys in what this is. Now, the problem with that is Ethiopian is one of the world's best airlines. It's got an incredible safety record. It has it's one of those little diamonds in the rough of national airlines. So it's got a good training program. I don't know anything about Lion Air, but everything I know about Ethiopian is that it's good. So the question really becomes this. If it's a training issue and they're not properly training, and it's kind of up to, doesn't Boeing run the training programs for these aircraft, or at least they supply them to the airlines?
Well, yeah, they supply the guidelines, but, United does its own simulators in Denver, American in Dallas, I believe, yeah. And Southwest, probably in Texas as well. But they do them on their own, but a lot of the foreign airlines come to the U.S. airlines because of the simulator programs. I mean, the Denver, they just opened up a new wing and a new section of United's Denver operation. It is massive and, probably billions of dollars worth of equipment, if not many, many millions and hundreds of millions, yeah. That sometimes smaller airlines can't do. So they'll actually fly to the U.S. and train at these U.S. airline facilities.
So the 737 MAX, the plane in question here, is more fuel efficient is what we're learning and what I'm learning. And finding out that creates some kind of weighting center or center of gravity that might be different from other 737s, that does speak to some sort of training to be prepared how to deal with that type of plane. Does that seem where the initial concerns are, that this may, are they kind of looking at a training potentially as the problem here?
Well, at least Boeing and the FAA seem to be going that way. Not so much on the center of gravity. There have been some claims that the engines are too far in front, so it gets things up. But it really comes down to the Lion Air crash, where it's the sensor that may be faulty that then makes the plane go into this nose-down direction, and then it's knowing how to recover from that. Two quick thoughts here. One being that no matter how much training you do, and I mean, we have a lot of confidence in U.S. pilots. Until that happens, and you're not expecting it to happen, you go into a simulator, you kind of know what you're doing and that you're going to have something go on and be ready to react, and your life is not in danger. But when you're flying a plane, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it goes nose down, and you're trying to troubleshoot, that no matter how well you're trained, and then we don't know if this is going to be the case in Ethiopia, and it appears to have been the case in Indonesia, that in that moment, are you going to be able to save the plane? Do you have enough time if you're just taking off, whether you've been trained or not, to react to what's going on and to mentally make that happen? The other thing is on the training and the background of pilots, the first officer, the co-pilot, had only 200 hours of flight time. And the minimum in the U.S. for a pilot of an airliner like the MAX 8 would be at least 1,500 to be in that right seat. So that was a very new pilot. The plane had a lot more hours on it than that pilot did. That was a very new pilot on who was sitting in the first officer's seat. The captain was a lot more experienced, but we don't know yet who was actually actively flying the plane at that time and what may have happened.
Right, that's true, because sometimes the right seat flies.
They usually go every other, depending on, you go this flight, I'll go the next.
And the proper recovery, it would be interesting to see how many proper recoveries from a similar kind of incident have been marked mm-hmm. by in flight logs. If that they've had this problem before, and that and not remarkable because they were they turned off the system and then they were able to fly.
Pilot had enough time to radio the control tower to say we'd like to return to the airport. Doesn't that speak to they weren't able to compensate for whatever was happening on board, that there was something they couldn't deal with?
Something that they had time to deal with.
Enough time.
There's the one witness account that came out a short time ago from a witness who says that they believe they saw the back of the plane on fire now or smoking. That would be something very different than what happened in Indonesia. That would point toward a fire on board, an engine issue, a bomb going off, something like that. And it may very well end up being that. We just don't know yet. They just got the cockpit voice and data recorder, and it's not even clear that Indonesia can read those out. They may have to send them to Europe or potentially even back to Washington, D.C. The NTSB, the FAA, Boeing are on scene.
They're all there to say, we'll take it.
Yeah, right. More than likely, probably somewhere to Europe, just out of time and distance. But other witnesses have said that they saw the plane. It looked like the pilot was struggling, and then at the last minute made a right-hand turn, and then they hit the ground. That would go in line with what the pilot radioed, something the effect of that they were having trouble controlling the aircraft, and that they wanted to return. The data from Flight Radar 24, which is the online site, they use as radio signals, so it's not always as reliable at the altitude they were at. They were below 1,000 feet. That it shows that they were nose up, tail up, going back and forth like they were fighting with it as well. But it'll really come down to the data recorder, the cockpit voice recorder, what were they saying in there, and then the true radar that air traffic controllers in Ethiopia were dealing with, and then they right. can put all that together. But really, indications are, yeah, they were fighting with it.
Yeah, okay. Well, so, and that Flight Radar 24 is an amazing site. You can watch.
It's incredible.
You can actually, on your phone, you can watch any flight in the air at any time. You can see it from the cockpit. It's an animation of what it looks like from the cockpit. It's really, it's cool.
I
so you can see what
site.
The telemetry is and everything.
That.
Yeah. But here's the issue. This idea that there was smoke coming from the aircraft in advance by one witness needs mm-hmm. to be discounted right now until they can prove that up, because people see things, you know, and when aircraft are moving, depending on the humidity and stuff like that, and they're moving, especially against those wings, you can get, depending on how fast the plane is moving.
It could be the exhaust coming out of the back of an engine. It could be anything.
It could be angel fire, the moisture on the wings burning off. It could be a lot of different things that's going on. So it is nothing. I would be very, very, very careful about speculating on anything until they get all of that in. All we know is that in 5 months, this brand new aircraft, and again, with, you know, super efficient engines, super hot engines in terms of what, you know, what their technology is, you know, those are the kinds of things that you got to figure out if those engines are too much for this airframe, given the what they call the MCAS system, which is the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, in case anybody wants to follow at home. Which,
is it when the pilot takes control themselves?
It's well, they take that's part of the autopilot system, and what it's doing is it keeps the plane in the air. These planes are now designed so that they can essentially fly themselves. If you have a terror in the sky moment, if both or airplane moment where both pilots are felled by the fish, then you don't have to, by eating the fish for dinner, then you don't have to have the helicopter pilot from Vietnam fly the plane. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Alex.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Stone
Alex.
Pony right there. Let's check in now and find out what's going on in the news. Here's Kim Gordon.
Roe, pardon me while the White House talks lots of pardons.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Got a top five at 5. And then coming up at 5:40, stay tuned for this.
Mm-hmm.
There's great trouble in celebrity-dom.
There really is. There usually is, but especially so.
We were all so excited to hear that J-Lo and A-Rod, two people who need no introduction, that's why we call them that, are engaged. You know, that A-Rod finally got down on one knee and popped the question, and J-Lo accepted for the fifth time in her life to be the wife of somebody.
This one seems right, though, I thought.
Well,
until the new news came out.
Until a former teammate of A-Rod came forward.
Very publicly so.
Yes.
What?
To get on the Twitter and say, A-Rod's doing the do with my ex-wife. Take that, J-Lo. This is right after she gets the $15 million ring. And he's on one knee and he's like, hey, this is gonna be a great night. I'm going to give her the ring on a beach, and then we're going to go have a nice private dinner. And the next thing you know, it's going to be all this. And then, bing, her phone hits.
Ooh.
With
TMZ alerts with her name all over it. Little does she know, he's cheating on her with my ex-wife.
Classic. Jose Canseco does not mess around on social media. He just says it how it is.
Jose Canseco is crazy.
He's not.
Jose Canseco is one of like the patient zeros of steroids in the steroid era.
It's like, let's examine this guy here.
And he's definitely one of those, listen, brother.
Totally.
When did that all come out?
Just now finding this out?
I just heard about the engagement this morning.
And weren't you happy for them? I kind of thought that they seemed they deserved each other. That was a nice
happy.
Couple.
And I love that ring. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you see it? Woo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excuse
Gorgeous.
Me.
Gorgeous.
Save this for 5:40.
Okay.
Because right now, it's...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go. Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
Striking musicians from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra are grabbing picket signs. They say there's a lack of progress in their contract talks. They walked a picket line in front of Orchestra Hall today after an afternoon performance. Negotiations are stretching into the last night, they say. Management is trying to reduce their pension benefits after years of negotiations.
The orchestra is doing extremely well. We've just come back from a very successful three-week tour in Asia. We tour every year. We have sold more tickets and have a higher ticket revenue than we have ever had. Our contributions are very strong. We have a $300 million endowment, a $60 million investment fund. They own this marvelous building. We're the envy of many, many cultural arts organizations in the world, and we feel we should be supported commensurately with that.
One of the issues here, and it is an interesting one,
mm-hmm.
is that they're actually fighting for not themselves, but future members of the orchestra, who they say are not going to get guaranteed pensions. They're not offering that. Whereas, you know, they've got a lot of unions and a lot of organizations like this have, you know, the guaranteed pension thing, because especially in the arts, you know, there's people don't work forever in the arts.
Right.
You can get an oboe elbow or something like that in that business. There actually, do you know, realize that there's an entire medical practice? Northwestern is one of the leaders in this, in musical injury.
I would imagine it's repetitive movements,
stress,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so their base salary currently is a little over 153. I think 153,000 was the average for them, and they have, you know, medical, dental, life, pensions, and they, you're right, it's like they seem like they're offering some increases for them that would seem okay on their face, that you're getting even an increase to where you were, and some of the pensions are going up too. But you're right, it's
hard to feel sorry for them.
It is.
I know it's very hard to feel sorry for them, but this is a very intramural thing. It's up to the producers of this particular orchestra, which has been considered to be one for the last half century, if not the best, the second best symphony orchestra in the world. Many people have said for sure the best.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like Donald Trump when I say that. Many people say, but it is true. I mean, look at it. It's one of the great art. It's one of our best exports from Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing.
And so, if they want to go to the high schools and find some other oboe players, go ahead.
Mm.
You got a guy play the timpani. Anybody can play the timpani, I think. But whatever. Go try it. See what happens.
They're also trying to move it to sort of a direct contribution plan, like the 401k thing is partial.
Yes.
For the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. It. But they're very polite in their they're very polite protesters. You know, he walked by some of the hotels, you know, a couple months ago, and it was like the banging on the pots that was like really loud.
Yeah. They're just doing this in front. People are actually just gathering around to listen to them play.
That's what I was gonna say. They could just open a violin case and people throw in money just to listen.
Exactly. Ew. We are on strike. I know. This is rich people problems right now on every angle. But still, it is, you know, they'll find out. Listen, there are a lot of people who come from all over the world to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And they do some really cool programming now, too, where, you know, they do the movies and they do all the other stuff that, you know, trying to bring in a little younger audience where people are not necessarily classical music fans, but just, you know, they want orchestral stuff that they're familiar with, like, you know, Jaws Night or Raiders of the Lost Ark or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Hitchcock suite of films. It's really great. It's a great institution. I don't know. You know, who's losing in this is my question at the management level. Who's losing? These are the artists. This is your act, my friends. You want to just open up the it's a beautiful room, but people aren't going to show up if they're not there.
That's true. I hope it all gets worked out. Yes. I don't like seeing them out there on the picket lines.
I know. I hate it when mommy and daddy fight.
Number four.
Speaking of that, Jim Acosta got into a fight with Sarah Huckabee Sanders today, because I think that's what people tune in for now.
It's true.
Every 40 days or so, sort of like a biblical kind of event, Sarah Huckabee Sanders comes out and does a whole, you know, she gets up there. And then Jim Acosta has to ask questions. And this was all about the president accusing the Democratic Party of hating Jewish people.
Or should we just plan on hearing the president use the same kind of language that we heard in 2016 and all through the first couple of years of this administration?
Look, I think that the real shame in all of this is that Democrats are perfectly capable of coming together and agreeing on the fact that they're comfortable ripping babies straight from a mother's womb or killing a baby after birth, but they have a hard time condemning the type of comments from Congresswoman Omar. I think that is a great shame. The president has been clear on what his position is, certainly what his support is for the people and the community of Israel.
If you're Mr. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, imagine getting into a fight with her. That's all I'm going to say.
She's quick with the comeback. She's quick on her feet.
Yeah, what about ripping the babies out of the wombs, huh?
Everything that just sort of drags down the rhetoric in the debate when you're saying something that's just patently untrue. I mean, obviously,
stating their policy positions
but
is not
Democrats don't.
Untrue.
But Democrats don't hate Jewish people. It's just silly. It's not true.
I think they should call out their members by name, and we've made that clear. I don't have any.
Exactly the same way the White House called out Steve King by name.
Didn't exactly work that way.
His rhetoric after Charlottesville, saying that there are very fine people on both sides in Charlottesville, essentially suggesting that there are very fine people in the Nazis.
That's not at all what the president was stating. Well, not at any point. The president has been incredibly clear and consistently and repeatedly condemned hatred, bigotry, racism in all of its forms, whether it's in America or anywhere else. And to say otherwise is simply untrue.
There you go.
I think that's such a tough job, because even if the president has condemned racism and anti-Semitic language, when he goes out there and says something like that, Democrats hate Jewish people, I don't even know how you can stand there at the podium and defend it.
Or when anytime he's mad at a black leader of some whatever form, generally congressional person, it's always, you know, playing on the same tropes too. Not right. Smart, low IQ, you know, it's like, nobody's in better shape here. If you're going to go into a personal attack, it's personal attack. And they should call out Ilhan Omar. They did, actually, but it's not enough. It's the Democrats are going to find a way to screw themselves into the ground here.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a race to the bottom in terms of trying to take advantage of what we now aphoristically call, what is the word I'm trying to look for here? Yes. Anyway, term that we now use, it's just low information voters, which means dumb people that
affirming
both parties
what you already believe.
Both parties are going to people who believe their own opinions more than they believe facts, and that's what they're going after. And that's not good for America. Whatever happened to people who actually are thoughtful about things, know things? Why? Neither party is really interested in attracting them anymore. You had AOC. She's like, I know these people who are like moderates who say, but on one hand, but on the other, what are they?
You don't really have any beliefs if you're a moderate.
Right.
And you don't stand for anything.
And you have to believe things as opposed to know them. You don't have to have experience to know things. Really? Okay.
Jim Acosta did do his railroading thing when he tried to ask several follow-up questions, and that got Sarah Sanders very angry.
Yes. They're going to take away they're going to slap him on his resting hand. All right, let us now check in, find out what's happening with Kim at the bottom of the hour.
Ro, U.S. investigators now on the ground where that Ethiopian jet crashed on Sunday.
Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9. That's your guy, Joe Donlin.
Yeah, big deal.
He's too busy really to hang out with you, but he likes you guys a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
You know that.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Speaking of morons, did you see this woman in San Diego, who climbed over a moat to go take a selfie with a jaguar?
Yes.
And now she's complaining that they should have better security. She apologized to the Jaguar because she doesn't want the Jaguar put down for trying to kill her.
Did the Jaguar accept her apology?
The Jaguar has accepted her apology.
And the zoo has also confirmed that they will not be euthanizing the animal.
Yes. But she's also complained, well, maybe they should have had more security, so I didn't get over the moat. You're a moron!
You jumped the barrier.
Yes, and to get a selfie. A selfie!
Oh, stop blaming other people.
What is going on here? Well, Mickey Olson is the wildlife director and says that there's a reason that they have the barriers.
Every time that you have a incident in a zoo, you're going to double check it, meet with your staff, try to figure out a way to stop that incident from happening again. But again, when people do not respect the barriers, there's always a chance that there might be a problem.
There's no way to fix people crossing barriers. That happens occasionally, and we put substantial barriers there, and if people cross them, they can get in trouble.
All right.
Was that all from the zoo? Because it sounded kind of like a border wall type deal.
That's right. The Jaguars are screwed. Build that wall. Keep the humans out of our cages.
Exactly. You know, people. A lot of people don't know. The Democrats are trying to raid the Jaguar cages in Arizona. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Oh, the cold open of Saturday Night Live was something to behold. Kenan Thompson playing R. Kelly. Oh, Leslie Jones playing Gail King. And there's a moment here where Gail King has to explain that, unlike at R. Kelly's house, the cameras for that interview are out in the open.
You know what? This is all great stuff, but maybe we should save it for some of the interview.
What are you talking about? This is the interview.
For real? Well, then where are the cameras?
There's literally one right in front of you.
Hey.
See, y'all just keep y'all camera out in the open like that? Boy, y'all some freaks.
It got worse from there.
Oh, it was really
better,
it was
really.
Pretty great.
Number one.
It's been a while since I could hold my head up.
Uh-oh. Stained frontman Aaron Lewis cut a solo performance in Oklahoma City short after he got really mad at the audience for being there.
Shut the f*** up!
Listen, if you don't shut the f*** up, you can't even hear the guitar. So shut up. I've got three more f***ing minutes. Three. Can you please, for once, through the whole evening, you guys have talked all night, shut the up, or I'm done.
He was not happy. Oh, boy. Pay attention to me.
But they decide to play.
It's so ironic that this song is a thank you, and I can't get you to shut the up to hear it. To the people in my life for putting up with me.
No! So he just stopped?
Just left.
He wouldn't play.
Well,
oh.
I mean, he is there. Why are people talking about him? I mean, he's not like a lounge singer. But I think he's about to become one now. Because he wasn't able to hold the audience.
And piss off his fans.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't think he had many in that room.
The top five at five.
Yeah, Jenny from the block.
She's got a lot of rocks.
Yeah. Who has now amassed well over $30 million in engagement rings in her life.
Wow.
Now think about that for a second.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of cheddar.
This is her fourth engagement. Is that correct?
I think fourth, yes.
Fifth?
Fifth engagement. Four marriages behind her. This would be, yeah, her fifth.
I'm going to tell you right now, that this is not going to make it to the altar. I am making this prediction right
now.
Really? Yes. Oh, I think this one will.
No, we all thought so.
Me too. I like this.
Everybody, all the ladies all like it. Because A-Rod, look, he's all grown up, and he's only been married once before.
Well, they're both grown up. They have kids now. Right. They're in a different part of their life.
If it doesn't make it to the altar, it just proves that you should stay boyfriend and girlfriend forever.
That is probably true. But I can tell you that from experience. But the reality is that now, you know, they were all, like, they have a beautiful engagement planned, right? Because they're always spending something. You always, you know, see them on a yacht or in some, you know, exotic locale, or she's following him or he's following her to work. Like, he's doing Monday night or Sunday night baseball or something for ESPN, and she'll be in the stands. Or she's, you know, doing something and he's somewhere near her. It's lovely, right? And you think, and they look like a couple that should be together, right? They're both, you know, kind of great looking and sort of, you know, still look younger than they should be given their age, celebrities. And it's almost perfect. Except what? When Jose Canseco, another country has heard from, Jose Canseco, the former steroid abusing loudmouth baseball player, right after the engagement.
He had to weigh in on it.
He gets up on the Twitter machine,
mm-hmm.
and he goes ape bleep on A-Rod by saying that A-Rod, hey, J-Lo, I'm paraphrasing here.
Watching World of Dance, watching J-Lo text A-Rod, little does she know that he is cheating on her with my ex-wife, Jessica. Poor girl, she has no idea who he really is. That was just the beginning. And he goes on, a few months back, I saw her texting him.
Well, is this just bad blood between the two of them, though? I mean, is he just trying to stir the pot? It's a perfect time to do it, obviously.
He's a pot stirrer, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's tweeted about aliens.
Come on, I want the happy ending here.
I do, too.
So
I would like
Robert, oh, yeah. She meets it.
Yes, sir.
So where's Jessica?
A Bobby K special.
Tee them up, Kim. It's too easy.
Here we go.
There will be no happy endings here without Ming Fu Hulu. I promise you that. There is.
Do they live in Florida? Don't they?
Yes, they do. They do. Yeah, that would be the least of her problems. Is he's going over to get a massage?
See, what's her name?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. A guy is Jose Canseco's not going to throw that out there if that's not true.
Yeah,
not going to make that up.
I'm leaning on this. We're dudes.
I know how this goes. Now, it's crazy to do. It is a complete violation of the guy code.
He's totally breaking the man code. Like, what are you talking about? This is their moment.
If you're going to break the guy code, this is a break guy code in case of emergency moments, and this is what he's trying to do because he wants to screw up A-Rod's life because he hates A-Rod. He has always hated A-Rod because A-Rod and Canseco were, you know, constant rivals. That's why Canseco had to take the drugs that made him crazy and made all that stuff shrivel up under there.
And A-Rod is so good looking.
A-Rod's just responsible for everything that went wrong with Jose Canseco's life.
It's so funny how
it basically is
how women view Alex Rodriguez. Like, sports junkie baseball enthusiasts hate Alex Rodriguez. And now everyone's like, I feel bad for Alex Rodriguez.
I don't feel bad for him, but I just wonder if Canseco's wife did have a thing with him, but maybe not overlapping with J-Lo. I mean, the J-Lo thing hasn't been going on for that long, so maybe wants to...
Well, there's obviously some jealousy here.
two years.
I mean, come on.
It's been a lot longer than 2 years, right?
Has it?
No, it's been 2 years.
It feels like 16.
He also challenged... He says, Alex Rodriguez, I challenge you to a boxing match or an MMA match anytime you want. I'd pay to watch
that. Not the face.
He's looking for a reality show, obviously.
Yeah, he blows it up on Twitter.
He does.
Recently, he was offering Tim Tebow swing... coach to help coach Tim Tebow, who's still in the minor leagues.
He offered to coach the president, saying he's eating too many Twinkies and he wants to be chief of staff after John Kelly leaves.
That's right, brother. We're going to lose some weight. Because all the guys on steroids, they all just talk like that. That's right, brother. Here we go.
They have bandanas on all the time.
Did he get busted for steroids?
He was like the steroid king.
We all knew it, but he never got busted.
He was the poster boy of the steroid
era. He admitted to it.
Yeah, he was the one who ratted everybody out.
Remember?
He's
a rat.
Him?
The guy's a rat.
He's a rat.
He and Michael Cohen. Rats. That's right, brother. Don't listen to Michael Cohen. He's like, he's got to keep you fat. You don't want to be fat anymore, brother.
That'd be a big brother I would watch, the two of them.
Maybe Jose Canseco can hire Mike Monaco, too.
Let me tell you something right now, brother. Brother Trump, you got the right color going. It's exactly the right color for a bodybuilder.
Now,
yeah, when the whole like steroid thing started, when everybody started investigating and looking into it, and people were like, okay, because forever people always just assumed these guys are hitting the ball 500 feet. Everyone's like, nah, they're not up to anything.
They're working out.
They've just been working out. This is a new era of baseball. This is right. Totally fun. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa,
Sammy Sosa's 160 pounds when he came in right. with the White Sox. He went out 360 pounds right. with the Cubs.
And they were obliterating baseballs. And then Jose Canseco, I don't know if he wrote a book or he was the one who kind of broke the whole thing. He's like, yeah, everyone's doing steroids.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm shooting up people.
He talked about shooting up people in the locker room.
Right.
Yeah.
Before games, they dropped their pants.
Did he say their names?
I don't know if he ever ratted out A-Rob, but he was the first one who really kind of broke
the whole
steroid
thing.
He
just said the whole thing is it's ubiquitous.
He goes, it's more, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So.
And I wonder if he's still
do you wait like at least a week? I mean, he puts on Instagram this $15 million ring and like proposing to her and this beautiful thing. It gets 5 million views or more probably by now. And then Canseco comes out with that? Really?
I think I kind of believe him.
He says he'll take a polygraph.
Is that the right? I'll take a polygraph, brother. If they can get the thing around my arms, I got pythons.
I don't know.
His Twitter account is wild if you just stroll through.
Yeah, but there's something. And it's his ex-wife, right?
But he says that he was hitting on his wife when she was his wife. So it goes back in terms of like how much he doesn't like him.
Bad blood.
Yeah, and A-Rod shows up starting to notice.
And
so
now Kevin makes a very important point that this is not A-Rod is not Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter could be mayor of New York City, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Derek Jeter is one of those guys that was like, you know, not since Lou Gehrig, who had to die for the sport, essentially, has there been a beloved Yankee like Derek Jeter.
Right.
And people hated A-Rod by comparison.
100%.
Because they just wanted to, and even though A-Rod had all those things going, but, you know, then there was questions about, you know, is A-Rod really cheating here? Is he really that great? And then he would pout. Right, and then all of a sudden he got this gigantic contract, and Jeter was like the all-American guy, right. going, "Hey, you know, what about this?" And A-Rod was the first guy, and they would joke about his in New York about his apartment. He was one of the first guys to go into the Time Warner Center apartment, you know, the mm-hmm. super luxurious condominiums there, and about how there was like always a line in the elevator of women, you know, that were either coming or going, you know, to that, and so then all of a sudden he ends up. With it, like he's gonna stop that right now because he's with J-Lo? I don't think so.
And it's funny because those two, their images have sort of flipped because A-Rod all of a sudden has become like this more likable guy and
because of her.
Does the broadcast. Yeah, because of her.
Right.
And Derek
he's
Jeter
up at the
took
Oscars.
Over the Marlins and like ruined the organization. So everyone hates him now.
Right, but for different reasons.
Yeah, for different reasons. Yeah. Although Derek Jeter, there has been plenty of stories about him, too.
Yeah, but it was a different... But the thing is... And I mean, you know, you never know what to believe in these,
right,
because
right.
sometimes you meet these people and you're like... Or you get to know them, and you're like, oh, that's not who everybody says that they are. But they enjoy the negative publicity because it helps them. But
Derek Jeter was the pretty boy, like, you know, could do no wrong in New York.
Right. Now, back to this. Back to Canseco.
To Canseco.
If you are going to go out and you're going to say something like this... If it's not true, you've ruined yourself for all of humankind. Mostly guys.
Humankind.
It's like you're kind of done.
It's guy code.
Yeah, this guy. Because if you do that,
but what is the guy code? What do you do? And you know that your buddy's getting engaged to someone, and you know that he's been cheating.
What are you talking about?
Right. Okay. So you say nothing.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Alex, he'd never do something like that.
I thought guys thought that everything before the marriage was okay.
What are you talking about? Hey, what time's dinner?
Yeah, it is. Good, great point, Jim.
What do you want to drink? Yeah, we got to go. Hey, what's on TV right now?
So, like, he's making a big deal out of something that men think's okay before they put the ring on it anyway. Right?
Then you take the guy aside behind closed doors and say, hey, dude, what are you doing?
I think...
Clean it up.
Hey.
Not on Twitter.
Right.
Not on Twitter.
Or... Then the guy goes, hey, you want me to tell everybody what you're doing? What are you doing?
Right.
What is this, crazy? What are you, crazy? So this is, but No, I mean, and I don't think J-Lo is going to consider everything that happened before they put a ring on it to be...
No, she's okay. Not going to love that.
No.
I have a feeling that Canseco's not going to shut up about this. Don't you get the sense that he's going to keep going?
Yes.
He's not done.
He seems to like to vent on the social media.
I want to hear from this Jessica.
Who is the... I don't think we do. Who is the... who else is on that that panel of judges with J-Lo? On the, So You Think You Can Dance or whatever the name of that show is.
Do you guys watch it?
I accidentally turned it on last night.
What is that
night,
show called?
Wide World of Dance. It looks like every other panel show.
Yeah, I mean, right, and with the whole like cutaways where the people are looking amazed.
Yeah,
they should put A-Rod on the stage and they can all judge.
Right,
Alex.
Here's what we do,
for May
sweeps. They put A-Rod on stage taking a lie detector test and see if he can dance his way out of this
with Jose Canseco holding a baseball bat in the background. Just slowly tapping the bat on his palm. That's right, buddy.
Jennifer Lopez, by the way, has responded.
Yeah. Oh, what'd she say?
Well, I can't say all of it, but she said, "Stop being a piece of
awesome."
Yeah.
To who? To which one?
To Jose. She told him.
Oh man! Imagine this conversation, though. Just imagine the conversation when all of a sudden the phones go bing, and you're like, "Hey, what's this?" Oh no! Right, the $15 million ring, the sex on the beach, the whole thing done, and then the next thing you know, it's like, and then she's got to give him the side eye, right? Like, hey, what's this about?
Right, she's got to ask.
Now, and then he's got to do the. Oh God, Canseco.
You can't listen to Jose.
Come on, look at his Twitter feed.
He tweets about
nuts.
Aliens.
Big steroid guy.
Steroids. He's nuts. Ever since he started taking the roids, he was crazy.
And then he called Jose. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You're killing me right now.
He's got roid rage. See, he's nuts.
Canseco even reached out to J-Lo and said, if you want the truth about A-Rod, call me. I mean, he's relentless.
Oh, the guy's crazy. Forget about it. The guy's nuts. Don't worry about it. It's fine. He'll never be president.
Jose, you can't believe him. No. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I would never
cheat. I don't even know who his wife was. Who's his wife? But if you're J-Lo, do you grab the phone and go through the phone to find out if the phone number's in there?
You look up Jessica Canseco and
yeah.
See if that's in the contacts.
Yeah, or
any Jessica?
Or James Canseco or something like that.
Oh, is that the trick?
I don't know what
who's
you're
asking?
About. I don't know what you're
who's
talking
asking?
About.
Classic Jose Canseco.
What time's dinner? What time are we going?
What time are we going? But from a lady's vantage, for you guys, if this happened, like, don't you immediately start questioning everything? Your fiance?
Yeah, it could be the most crazy person in the world.
Right. When you float
something.
That out there, now you got the doubt in the back of your mind.
That's
all the time.
That's all Canseco's trying to do.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. Right. Mess, get in the heads.
Yes. Although it's also completely true, I'm sure.
I believe.
I'm not sure that J-Lo is super clean either. You know?
She's been married
four times. She's had a lot of boyfriends.
Yes.
I mean, so don't you know. Do you
hey,
think
as
maybe
long as
they shared
listen,
the baggage,
if they, yeah, I mean, if they want to just work on that, they just want to go. Hey, listen, what do you expect?
We're two incredibly good looking,
yes,
rich, gonna, famous people.
We're gonna have a great life together, and if you know you're on the road, I'm on the road, or whatever. It's you know, what are you gonna do? It's baseball.
Jose's ex wife shows up. You know,
yeah, what are you gonna do? Jose's ex wife, and she's crazy. She's on, you know, God knows what she's on. All right. Let's check in with Cam, find out what's happening.
Roland's like he's done this before.
I'm not.
Like,
that is so
professional.
He's like
totally
really comfortable in this whole thing here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know how to handle this.
I know how to handle it. He wrote a book on it.
The city's closer to paying millions of dollars to another victim, a former Chicago police commander, John Burge.
Sposato and Napolitano are both Trump supporters. And actually, Sposato left the Progressive Caucus because Chicago is a welcoming city.
Ms. Lifeson,
so
your
think,
response.
I think it's...
That's
like
really
important.
No, no, no. You're
really
spewing...
Important. No, let me finish.
Fine.
It's really
I'm going to let you lie, and then I'll respond.
You know, I'm not accusing you of lying.
No, you are lying.
I think you're...
There's
you're,
no lie that you clearly
just,
will
think,
not tell.
I think
it is
just,
sad
you're
and
just
pathetic.
Really dis-
can I...
Oh, they were getting along so nicely.
No, they really weren't. They really weren't. It's gone negative all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know.
It's a little fiery.
His early polls, I'm sure Preckwinkle didn't like, but Preckwinkle's got an advantage on the raising the money.
Yeah, well, maybe once the fundraisers, John Cass joins us right now, the legend from the Chicago Tribune, and maybe once some of Tony's donation bigwigs find out about what the poll numbers are, maybe there won't be so many donations. What say you, John Katz?
I'm saying I wish, first of all, hi, you guys.
Hi.
Love you guys. Thanks
Love
for having
too.
Me on. Hi, Anna. And yes, Anna, I just had shrimp and horta today. Nothing else. No meat.
Where did you go?
Okay.
Oh, but where did you go? In Greektown.
I went to Athena. Yeah. Mm. Hey, listen, if I were smoking, I would roll over and have one right now because it's just so good. I mean, dog whistle or not dog whistle, you know? Well, who's gay? Who's not gay? What is she talking about? Why did she bring it up? It's just a fascinating thing. I just think that maybe, don't you think you should have had Steve Dale to talk about dog whistles rather than me?
He'd be happy to.
I see what you just did there.
Oh.
All right, let's go back to what that was. There was a moment in the debate on Thursday night. Yeah. Carol Marine said, you know, we'll say something nice about each other. And Lori Lightfoot said of Toni Preckwinkle that she liked her
position on like healthcare
mm-hmm. like the Obamacare thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She stood up for it. Yeah,
yeah. And then Toni Preckwinkle turns around and goes, "Oh, I think it's just great that Lori is outly gay, you know." And it's
I'm so proud of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now there are some who would argue that was a way of just. Again, pointing out what is probably Lori Lightfoot's Achilles heel in this in this election is that there is some concern that in the church going community, especially in the African American community in Chicago, Willie Wilson was in here telling us how that is a big issue for the church going folks in this town. And
right.
that could be a high negative for her, and that he was imploring after Willie Wilson saying, "Listen, I'm going to support Lori Lightfoot," and I know a lot of people are going to wonder because he's a very church going guy. That why would I do that? But it's about I can hate the sin and love the sinner.
I mentioned it in a column. I think the column last week where I said your mayor's going to be Lori Lightfoot, and I got a lot of pushback from regular Democratic types. Right. We're upset that how dare you accuse Toni Preckwinkle of even thinking about such a thing. And then there she goes and does it. And Lori brings it up, I think today, this morning, I was reading a John Byrne piece, mm-hmm. right? She brought it up, and then others would argue against it. So Toni gets what she wants.
But are we supposed to believe that Toni Preckwinkle is as astute a political player as any, right? Chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party, been in public office for how many decades? I mean, she knows what those words mean, what she's doing. I mean, we believe that this was pure on her part, that she was just trying to celebrate gay people and standing up for being gay? Or is she has some internal research that shows that that is an Achilles heel?
You don't even need internal research, right? Oh, yeah. She surrounded herself with black ministers, and then 20 seconds later, she drops that. Okay?
Right.
So there aren't coincidences. Right, Anna?
No, not in politics.
Would agree.
Yeah.
Very few.
But let's just look at the polls for a second. All the polls and the internal polling, and you see a lot of political wags out there who are all talking about this is Lori Lightfoot's running away with this thing. Do you believe that?
What do the polls say?
And she's running away with this thing. She's up by 20 or 30 points with 20 points out.
You know, I said last week, I think about 7 days ago, I said the new mayor of Chicago, take a look at change. It's Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And then this Sunday, I did another piece on the era of inevitability, right? She's got that now. And it's a very difficult thing for, as you would, I think both of you would agree, it's a very difficult thing for candidates to spin about themselves. And people in Chicago want to be with a winner. And it's going to be tough for Toni Preckwinkle, although I still think she can pull it out with a massive black turnout and a lot of fire and brimstone speeches from the preacher class, but I don't know if they'll do it.
Well, I noticed on the news yesterday. I do love an election year in Chicago. There's really nothing quite like it. There's just,
this is so good.
I mean, for guys like us, this is like, you know, people who, our whole lives we spend in this business, and it's like, this is what we, this is why we got in this in the first place.
Exactly.
You know, a rainy, cold, 40 degree March day in Chicago, and people rushing, you know, rushing around, candidates rushing around trying to find a way. And that is where we find ourselves now. And you're making the point, as Lori Light, or both were actually in the churches yesterday. Sundays, there's nothing like a Sunday morning on the South Side in an election year, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody is out there. And this is Tony, you know, going to places that, you know, conservative churches and places that, you know, where
that's
jobs
not her thing, right?
Where jobs
that's
are found. Her. No, it's not her thing. The public is not her thing. She's just, she's not a dynamic, which is the difference between running for Cook County president, Cook County board president, because nobody, you know, there's 15 people that vote for that. And it's, and there's all people who work in the county. And that's just, it's just not, you know, she's, neither of these people, this is her first big step onto a stage as hot and white light as this one is.
True.
And, there they both are. And I got to tell you what is absolutely shocking to me. And Anna is my witness on this, because the first time that we had Lori Lightfoot on a year ago or more than a year ago, and she was starting to announce she was going to run for president.
Sure.
I'm like, she left the studio. I'll say this now publicly. She left the studio and I turned to Anna and I'm like, I don't think she's got a chance, because she didn't have that dynamism that a politician has to have. She didn't, she's super smart, but she didn't seem to have that kind of outward. She's very, sort of shy about expressing herself. That's over now. She's got that in great amounts, because
she's a litigator, right?
Yeah, but
I mean,
yeah,
she's a courtroom fighter.
But that doesn't always translate.
Put her on TV where she was doing that bit, the bite that you guys just ran before I came on. You know, you're lying then, you're lying now.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, and Tony's not, Tony makes a charge and then won't back it up, you know, in public. She's too timid to say it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, she's very good. Lori Lightfoot has stepped up to this stage in a way that I did not anticipate. So,
but she's almost turned it into a positive, because she lacks that professional, polished politician sizzle. But I think that that's refreshing in some ways. People look at her as an answer to the machine, as an answer to the, you know, established way of doing things. And so she's got this style that doesn't really fit in with the way we've seen most politicians.
Both of them are going to be on the before the Chicago Tribune editorial board tomorrow.
Ooh.
So I need Roe and Anna. What should I ask them? Oh. What do you want me to ask them?
How you doing? And see how they, that's a typical Chicago question, and find out how they actually react to you. I'm doing good. How you doing? If anybody says I'm doing good, how you doing? Then you give them your endorsement.
And if they say, who's asking?
Yeah.
What do you do?
That's number two.
If they say, didn't I see you by Norridge or was it Rosemont last week?
No.
Then you know.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I want to, but here, you know, this is an interesting thing, too, because you got, as they're sitting there, you do have a question. Here's a question I would ask, and this is because this is near and dear to my heart. We had another Chicago police officer take their life this weekend.
Yeah. Right.
There's a crisis in a lot of ways in policing in America, but I think it's specifically bad here. And you have two people who have campaigned against the Chicago Police Department, which is really, you know, one of the most, you could argue, the most vital institution of civic government. How are you going to win the support of the men and women of the Chicago Police Department after you have been so bruisingly attacking them, to both of you?
That's going to be a tough one.
That is a good one.
I remember when Commander Bauer was killed and his body was brought to the morgue, and Preckwinkle must have known she was thinking about this back then. She walked to the four corners outside the morgue and shook hands with police officers, and they didn't want to shake her hand. They're like, what are you doing? You know, but then they didn't know what to do. And I think that will resonate with a lot of cops, even though they know that Lori Lightfoot has her number. I think they're going to go along like the firefighters did and see if they can make a better deal for themselves with Lightfoot, but I don't know. I really don't.
Well, I just would like to see them answer the grander philosophical question as opposed to the contracts themselves, because that's going to be handled between the labor lawyers and all the rest. Mm-hmm. But to the philosophical question of how are you going to win the hearts and minds of those? And listen, it's hard to win the hearts and minds of Chicago police officers, because the one thing they hate more than criminals are their bosses, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. But there's no respect given to what these men and women have to go out and do every day. And you see it like, oh, it's so easy. If you're out in the street and there's a, you're going through a door, you have to pull your gun out, or there's a tough traffic stop, or you have to call somebody a name to get their attention on the street. And the next thing you know, you got a COPA investigation. It's a tough gig for them. And I just would like to know how show me that you respect what it is that they do.
I think that's a good one. I'll ask you.
Yeah. I do too.
I'll
ask
you. Thank you.
You know, very good, right?
Yeah, there. Thank you. Thank you.
And the second one is, are you really proud that she's a lesbian or what? What did you mean by that? Because that would be the one I'm going to.
No, for real.
What were you going for?
Yeah, for real. You really, you know? Like, you care if she's a lesbian? What was that all about?
What are you doing there?
Yeah.
You're a liberal Democrat. Why do you care? Why did you bring it up like it's a thing?
Right. Like it's a thing. Exactly.
Oh, God, I love this.
So wait, will the trip be making an endorsement then after this?
As a member of the editorial board, I should tell you that I don't know, and I wouldn't say even if we did.
Okay, there we go. Yes, they are.
You'll have to see.
So the answer is yes.
The world's greatest newspaper.
Thank you, John.
We will.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. John Cass, the legend from the Chicago Tribune. Let's talk now with Kim Gordon. What's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, it's been a while, but Democrats will nominate their presidential candidate in the Midwest.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
All right. Coming up, what do you want your Uber driver to do?
Get you to your place safely.
I'll tell you what I want my Uber driver to do. I'm going to tell you that coming up. And I don't care how many points stars it costs me to tell you.
You're very demanding.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you right now. There's an Uber driver out there who's put out a list of things he will do for you.
Oh, like extras?
Like not like Ming Fu Hulu. No, this is a separate thing. I'm sure that happens too.
I'd imagine.
You heard of the Bobby K special, mister? You just pull in this alley real quick. I'll slip you a 20.
A crafty?
A crafty? Oh my God, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
A crafty?
The old, how much for the hoof and mouth? All right, we got standby. One of the most important things you can do. This might be inappropriate timing. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. It is 6:40 in the evening and the sun is still in the sky.
Isn't that something special?
That is something special. It's a very nice moment as you're driving home. Although now the sun will be directly in people's eyes as they are driving
the sunshine
west.
Delays.
Yes. In the morning on the way east, and then that is a real deal.
It is. It can be pretty intense in your eyes.
That's very true. Speaking of intense, did you? I have another celebrity in peril story.
Oh, we were talking about J-Lo and A-Rod and the Canseco, getting all in their face about cheating rumors.
Yeah, calling out A-Rod for being a cheater with Canseco's ex-wife currently while he's engaged to J-Lo, and it's created much consternation.
It certainly has.
Yes, and because nothing ever goes wrong for J-Lo.
Her marriages don't last that long, but this one I have a lot of hope for. I like this one.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. Not if Jose Canseco has anything to say about it.
He'll try to break that up. He already is on it.
So Pete Davidson over the weekend was on the Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And he started off as, they have like Pete Davidson. The only time Lorne Michaels allows him on Saturday Night Live on the set is when he's hot in the news with some woman he should not be dating. because they're way too hot for him.
The Kate Beckinsale you're talking about.
So now it's Kate Beckinsale.
Hockey game?
Yes, they were at a Rangers game. Kate Beckinsale, of course, from England, gigantic Rangers fan.
I'm sure.
Making out on, they were in glass seats and then making out.
Very publicly.
Right. I might point out, however,
yes,
that Kate Beckinsale has a new Kate Over the Top series. I don't know if it's Netflix or...
I think it's Netflix. I just watched the whole thing and it is so good.
Widow, right?
The Widow.
The Widow. Okay. So she's got this new Netflix series called The Widow, and she needs... And those... The problem with Netflix, if you're going to start a Netflix series, you gotta get some publicity around it because there's too many options to choose from. So the only way now to say, it's always been a rule of Hollywood. That's why they used to set up these scandalous relationships with actors in the 40s and 50s.
It's Amazon. I apologize. All right. I don't know where I saw it, but that's where.
Okay,
what it is.
Amazon.
Same
thank
thing,
you.
Though.
The same process here. And back in the day, you know, you wanted to be in the headlines because then people would go see your movies. This is not a
Hollywood 101.
It's not a new thing. And it used to be like publicists and agents would help arrange these kinds of things, right? You'd even arrange to start dating somebody.
Right.
To cause, you know, to put yourself in the headlines.
And so now Pete Davidson, who is the happy idiot here, doesn't realize that he is actually he was used by Ariana Grande and now Kate Beckinsale. It's all good.
I'm sure he doesn't care. It's kind of a nice thing to be used by.
As a guy, you're like...
you're interested in them.
Right. If this is as bad as it gets, then I'm going to... But remember, he was on the verge of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Very dark time.
After the Ariana Grande thing?
Yeah.
Right. And now I hope he's gotten some thickened skin here because as soon as her Netflix show is a hit and the word of mouth is picked up on it, she won't need him anymore.
No. That one seems like such an odd combo.
Now, her ex-husband, Kate Beckinsale's ex, has come out to offer words of advice to Pete Davidson. Run like hell.
Come on, though. An ex, please.
Jose Canseco is right there with
him. Yeah, really. I'm not sure.
I'm with you, Len. Get out of there, Pete.
He's going to jump on that one now.
Yeah, because that's what Pete's going to do. Pete's going to leave Kate Beckinsale because some other dude told him to get away.
I mean, if you're Pete Davidson right now, you're just like, you're in a good spot.
Yeah, you are in a good spot. Because no matter what, for the rest of it, it's like winning an Oscar.
He's the guy. He gets hot celebrity.
Right, who needs to be in some sort of Beauty and the Beast relationship. Right. And then boom, it goes for a couple of months and then you move along.
And then you wonder that if it creates a mystique around Pete Davidson. Like the other hot celebrity women are like, wait a minute.
What is there about him?
I don't
remember
anything.
Ariana Grande started a rumor about his manhood.
Mm.
And then he did a stand-up piece about saying, hey, listen. She did something really bad and she oversold it.
She oversold it.
I don't want people thinking, you know, like moving forward, that's because I just don't want to disappoint people.
She's small. The ratio was just kind of weird.
Right. There was something weird. So he got very defensive about that.
That's
a
smart move.
Yeah, a good move.
Why is that a good move?
Well, because he didn't.
Why wouldn't you just let the mystique continue out there?
Because eventually the mystique's going to, you know, pay off on any given night, and then the next thing you know, you're going to have to explain what just happened there. You know, you're right, and that's when you're going, well, you know, she's like 5'2". I know. Anyway, the point is, that's extra again at the Orchids of Asia.
Crafty.
So the question is. For Pete Davidson, do you listen to the advice of Kate Beckinsale's ex? Absolutely not.
No way.
No, you ride it out for a while.
Right, for the next 2 weeks until she dumps you.
Right.
I'd say the over-on, I'm going to give it, all right, you know what, give me an extra, April 1st.
April 1st,
April
before
1st.
The mayoral election.
Yes, I think before the mayoral
election. Monday before the election, that will happen.
Right. Before you have to get the Lightfoot or the Preckwinkle, also extra at the Orchids of Asia, you have to just guess.
Well, he responded to the whole thing on. He also mentioned it on SNL about his relationship with her. How everyone's trolling him and questioning him about it, and he brought it down to it's the age gap that everyone is questioning.
How much older is
she? She's 45. He's 25. And so big age gap, but he called that part out and he said to all the critics that are trying to question the age gap piece of this, let me remind you, there are a couple people you can talk to if you want to learn about the big age difference. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hold on, we have the audio.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Apparently, people have a crazy fascination with our age difference, but it doesn't really bother us. But then again, I'm new to this. So if you have questions about a relationship with a big age difference, just ask Leonardo DiCaprio, Jason Statham, Michael Douglas, Richard Gere, Jeff Goldblum, Scott Disick, Dane Cook, Derek Jeter, Bruce Willis, Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee, Alec Baldwin, Sean Penn, and whoever the president of France is, Mel Gibson, Billy Joel, Mick Jagger, Sylvester Stallone, Eddie Murphy, Kelsey Grammer, Larry King, Larry King, Larry King. Donald Trump.
So he made a point there, right?
Excellent.
That you don't
point.
Question
she's
it
so
when
hot.
It's the
who
guy.
Who cares how old she is?
Yeah. Well,
he's living a good
well,
life.
I don't think it's the age difference that most people are questioning there. I think it's that just what you pointed out, that she's this really attractive, accomplished actress, and he's kind of this up and coming, but really, you know, he's high profile.
But seemingly troubled.
She went to her people and said, who's hot these days? Who can I use for the next few months while we launch the series?
Yeah. What would Boobie say? I mean, Boobie would have to come up with some names.
Jolly sweetheart, listen. My little Katala, listen. Here's what we need to do.
A-Rod's taken.
We need to find you a high-profile boyfriend so that you can be seen on his arm. But we can't get any of the good ones, so let's go with Pete Davidson.
We'll send you to a hockey game. I know you have no freaking clue what hockey is.
He has pillowy lips. You will enjoy the making out.
Oh, gosh.
The rumor is he's endowed.
I cannot confirm it because all the Ariana Grande said yes. He said no. I tend to believe him. The point is, who would lie about that? You, darling, sweetheart, Bubby, darling, sweetheart.
Yeah. I think the girlfriend code, I wonder if she's got a bunch of girls' friends around her saying, I mean, trying to support this, or maybe like whispering in her ear, maybe. I don't know if this is really...
What do you do in a situation like that?
I think that is one of the most difficult things of all, because we've all seen our friends date someone that we know that, you know, either you know something bad about them, or you know that there's something that he's after for her that is not quite healthy, or whatever. I think if you're a good girlfriend, you got to say it. You got to tell your friends. Just say, look, I know you hate me. And then as soon as you decide that you're going to go on with this, I will embrace you both and I'll never tell it to him. But I think you got to put it out there.
Yeah, it's interesting, though.
People don't listen to that. When you're in love, you don't listen to it.
Not only do they not listen to it, what they then do, they turn on you and then they tell the boyfriend. Or they tell the girlfriend, you know, Anna doesn't like you.
Yeah. You know, we probably won't go out with her anymore because I don't fully think she really loves you.
She thinks she's all that. Yeah. She's, you know, I
if it's a good girlfriend, they won't do that. They'll get mad at you, not talk to you for a few days. See, I'm dating him anyway. But in this case, I don't know. It's just such an odd pairing. It's so obvious.
Well, everything with Pete Davidson's an odd pairing. Right? Unless he was with Courtney Love,
yes,
everything's an
that
odd
would be
pairing.
Okay. That's would be
like
fine.
If she's old enough to be his mother.
Then this one is too, so yeah. That's okay too.
And Pete Davidson, I mean, the one thing about Pete Davidson, and again, we know more about him. Pete Davidson has been on Saturday Night Live for, I think, three seasons now. Three, maybe four. He was in the auxiliary cast. I think he still is. He was never on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know who he was until he's dating Ariana Grande.
Right. And then now he's only on the show still when he's hot. Like, right, they had to put him on Weekend Update to go, hey, what's going on with Kate Beckinsale? The whole thing is about his dating.
I think he's got the better agent.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe Pete, darling, listen, I found another desperate older lady who's interested.
Yeah, I wonder who's next on this
Lily
train.
Tomlin has a new comedy series coming out. I know that she may not like the guys, but maybe this would be a perfect time for you to get with Lily Tomlin and maybe be seen at maybe a Knicks game making out courtside.
The Onion said that the Kate Beckinsale Pete Davidson romance was a PR stunt to promote the New York Rangers, not their careers.
That's even better. Oh man,
good for Pete Davidson.
I know that's every guy.
Every guy's like, this is awesome. He's gonna. Sure, you could use me for a few months. Perfect.
She is so good in The Widow. Oh my gosh, I started it and I could not. It was one of those you couldn't stop. It's so good. I mean, and she's captivating. I mean, she's really, really good.
Pete Davidson working his magic.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
I'm not sure he was even with her when she was filming it, right?
Right.
So he can't take credit for that.
Pete, darling, listen, the entire cast of Sex and the City needs some help with promotion. That Cottrell woman, she's next.
Cottrell woman. Cottrell.
Sarah Jessica Parker would be a nice one.
Yeah. She's busy with the she's gone to beer commercials now. That's kind of
Stella
where
Artois,
things are going.
Her and the dude making commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually like that spot.
Great spot.
But it's I think that's kind of where that's all. That's fine. She's had an amazing career.
She has.
None of these gigs last forever.
I just can't wait to see who he dates next. Pete Davidson. The Pete Davidson sweepstakes. Because this is done, like you said, April 1st.
Who was
duck.
The one who played Miranda? She is now available, too.
I don't think she's his type.
We're trying to resurrect her career here. We need your help,
she's
Pete.
Another one that does not like the boys, but this will be good for you. It's good for her, good for you. It's a win-win,
forward
as we
thinking.
Like to say.
Yeah. I wonder how those discussions go down. It probably sounds a lot like that.
Yes. All right. Let us now check in with. Well, there's no news right at the top there because we're going to Blackhawks.
Yeah, Hawks at 7.
Yeah, let's start doing the traffic right now. Let's find out for the last check of the roads, Jen DeSalvo. All right, Blackhawks coming your way next. We'll be out there, no big deal.
You and Kev lighting it up.
Yeah.
Huge game.
Kevin and I are just going to walk around the concourse.
Get our steps in.
That's what we do. Get
and
the Hawks game.
You chat with all the people row knows.
We don't sit in the seats because we're not allowed in the seats. We just go round and around in circles. And then we wait for the in between the periods, and then we sit around. And we were just watching the game. We have no idea what the score is. That's how we roll out at the United Center. All right. Well, enjoy the Hawks. They got to win tonight. They got to win every night now. This is really it, and this is a critical game, right?
Because Coyotes are right there in the playoff hunt. So.
Yes, they got to beat them and eliminate them. So that's all coming your way in just a few minutes, right here on 720 WGN. See you tomorrow at 3:00.